And let's see, next item. Next item, I believe, is number 25.
By the way, we have one of those here.
A matter of Sydney Scout's attorney.
We have a Hillsborough attorney.
Oh, in the matter of number 25 and 29, I'm going to be abstaining as I was the previous state director for the Oregon Working Families Party.
Okay, very good.
Okay.
25 and 29, you said. Okay, very good. So do we have a staff report on item number 25?
On item number 25, in quarter of 2019, we had $40 that has not been paid, so we're 4 days late. So I propose a letter of education for that. In quarter three, we were 7 days late, and I put a minimum of $50 for quarter three being a second violation.
Okay. Any questions for staff on this? We'll entertain a motion. Okay, Commissioner Keene, so moves. Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Edwards.
I'm staying. Okay.
Commissioner Fiscom.
Aye.
Commissioner Keene.
Aye.
Commissioner Mason.
Aye.
Commissioner Gay.
Aye.
Commissioner Sosa.
Aye.
Chair Burke.
Aye.
Motion passes 6-0 with one abstention.
Okay. Item number 26.
Very similar to the last one, Chair. In quarter one of this year, they were 2 days late. That was not paid. I proposed a letter of education. In quarter three, they were 8 days late, and I proposed a minimum of $50.
Okay.
For a second violation.
Questions or discussion? Entertain a motion?
So moved.
Okay. Commissioner Sosa, so moves. Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Commissioner Fiscom? Commissioner Keene?
Aye.
Commissioner Mason?
Aye.
Commissioner O'Day?
Aye.
Commissioner Sosa?
Aye.
Chair Burke?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Item number 27. We're now in lobbyist client penalty correspondence.
So now we're actually with the clients here. And so in this first one, in quarter one, they were 2 days late with the letter of education. Quarter two, we had, I proposed a minimum of $50, but then I changed all that. See, you think it's getting boring. So all of a sudden, quarter three came in, and we're also late, so I'm going to leave it up to you folks what you would like to do. So I really took away my recommendation, Chair, and because we're the three quarters in a row that we have been late, and the last quarter was 8 days. And I do want to point out again that these days, that my staff is actually contacting these people and keeping these days very low. And so, yeah. So anyway.
Okay. Are there questions for staff?
Chair Burke, this is Mr. Fiscom. This item is a source of concern to me based on my background and the repeated violations we see. My first question is, Mr. Burson, what would our penalty matrix say in this case? Would it have been better for us?
As you know, Commissioner Fiscom, that the penalty matrix is really about the ethics violations and not the late penalties. The late penalties are just set up by the days. And I will tell you that in the past, what we have done is like I said, the second violation, I could do 10% and then 20% for the next one. And we could do that here with the minimums being $50. But quite frankly, I think my first two were probably okay, but that third one, I probably wouldn't let anything off of that third one if I was throwing a recommendation out today. The third time, I mean, I probably wouldn't give them a break on the third one. I think we've already done that by, say, our staff calling them within that 8 days to get them filed. So, anyway.
Okay.
Mr. Burson, and at first blush, whatever the number is for the penalty, I would agree with you, particularly because of the comment in the history, labeled history on page 110, where it says that we were told that I understand the requirement, I will make sure this does not happen again, and then it does.
Then it does, yeah.
All right. So I'm open to a significant penalty here, because to me this is an example of where enforcement
happy holidays
should prompt education.
Yeah, again, I mean, the $80 is the amount. I mean, so I would advocate for no reduction in the third quarter penalty of $80.
Okay, so with that non-recommendation recommendation, the floor is open.
Yeah, I would move that we proceed with a letter of education for quarter one, $50 for quarter two, and the full $80 for quarter three.
Okay. That's a motion. Is there discussion to the motion? Seeing none, we'll go to a roll call vote.
Mr. Edwards?
Aye.
Mr. Fiskum?
Aye.
Mr. Mason?
Aye.
Mr. O'Gay?
Aye.
Mr. Sosa?
Aye.
Chair Burke?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Very good. Okay. 29.
Well, this next one is like the ones I just love to come with you folks to. Is it a day late two times in a row? They haven't got a letter of ed. I know I put a recommendation there for $10 for quarter four, but I would, after just looking at it here, you may maybe give a letter of education for the two quarters, and hopefully the next quarter they won't be late. So they were on time in the middle between quarter two, so quarter three they were on time. Quarter four they missed it by a day.
They probably overslept. But yeah, Commissioner O'Day.
Thank you, Chair. Mr. Burson, when we send that letter of education, do we apprise them of what the penalties could be?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I thought so. I just wanted
to throw my voice.
Make sure.
Sorry.
That's perfect. That was awesome. Thank you.
Yeah. I've asked her anyway.
Well, I think part of your compensation program has been throwing lessons, right?
Yeah. I would have asked the experts anyway, so
Okay.
There you go. It's perfect.
Very good. So, item 29, is there any discussion or is there a motion?
We actually need a vote on 28.
Oh, I'm sorry. I can't count. My apologies. That's what I mean. Okay.
My recommendation is a letter of ed for the two quarters.
Yep. I move staff recommendation.
Okay. Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Sosa.
Aye.
Mr. Starr. Excuse me. Mr. Starr is absent. Mr. Edwards?
Aye.
Mr. Fiskum?
Aye.
Mr. Mason?
Aye.
Mr. O'Day?
Aye.
Chair Burke?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Okay, now item 29, staff report.
So the last one here, I really am going to stay out of it. We had quarter two of 16. We gave them a letter of ed in 2016. And quarter four of 18, $750, quarter one of 1950, quarter two of 70, and now quarter three 70. I have no recommendation. We're just consistently late on these reports.
Freestyle.
I have Commissioner Sosa. Question. Ron, it says here quarter two 2016, 50 paid by check, no letter of ed, so there's never been a letter.
Oh, I'm sorry. They just paid it. They never asked for any
mitigation.
Mitigation on that one.
And so these other amounts, the 50, the 70, the 70, these are the full amounts?
Those are the full amounts for each one of the quarters. So you can, you know, the 750, I can't do those days in my head because it's $10 a day for the first 14 days and $50 after that. But the other ones, you know, it's 5, 7, and 7 days later. Okay.
Chair Burke, this is Mr. Fiskum again. My reaction to this is in some ways similar to item number 27 in the letter from the person affected, Ms. Scout, is not convincing to me. She makes a number of excuses, and I don't find them to be plausible reasons. So I'm willing, again, in the spirit of enforcement, to produce education for as high a fine as we can go.
So is your motion to adopt the figures listed in item 29?
I would question first, Ron, would you repeat again, Mr. Burson, pardon me, would you repeat again for me and us how the 750 arose? How did that total arise?
Well, the 750 is $10 a day for the first 14 days, and then it's $50 a day after that. So I could try to do the math on my...
That's okay. And how did the 190 arise? Test my memory on that, or tell me how that arose as a number.
Would that be the same formula?
Yes, it would be the same formula.
Mm-hmm. So apparently the same formula, Dave.
Thank you very much. Before I make a motion,
well, hold a second,
Chair Burke, I wanted to get the other commissioners had a thought about the amount.
I just want to be clear, Commissioner Fiskum, it's quarters one through three that are $190.
Mm-hmm.
Quarter three was actually 70. So each one of those other quarters were actually the number of days.
Right.
They were actually 5 days late in quarter one, 7 days late in quarter two, and 7 days late in quarter three.
Okay. Chair
Burke, again, my question is if any of my colleagues have any instincts on the amount of the fine that we could consider.
Well, I think Commissioner Soso is going to say something.
Yeah, my thought is we haven't issued a letter of education to them. Typically, that is the first thing we do. So we could issue a letter of education for quarter four, and then just stick with the 50, 70, and 70 thereafter. So they still do have some financial repercussions for not having filed, but we are eliminating the highest of the fines by substituting a letter of education.
Is that a motion?
Yeah, I'll make that motion.
Okay. Is there any discussion to the motion? Okay, seeing none, we'll go to a roll call vote.
Mr. O'Day.
Aye.
Mr. Soso.
Aye.
Mr. Edwards.
Abstain.
Mr. Fiskum.
Aye.
Mr. Mason.
Aye.
Chair Burke.
Aye.
Motion passes 5-0 with one abstention.
Okay, so that takes us to item number 30. We're into stipulated final orders.
Chair Burke, Commissioners, this is Diane Gould. Carla Urbikite was an Oregon State Police trooper. She investigated a case of alleged theft and possession of a stolen vehicle in August of 2017. When there were still matters pending in the criminal case, Ms. Urbikite accepted jewelry from the victim, and the value of the gift exceeded the $50 statutory gift limit. After considering the investigation report, the commission found a violation of ORS 245.025, the gift clause, on March 7th of this year, and offered Ms. Urbikite a contested case hearing as well as a proposed settlement. Ms. Urbikite, through her attorney, agreed to settle the matter for a $200 civil penalty, which represents 4% of the maximum civil penalty and is within the range allowed under the penalty matrix. So the stipulated final order is signed by Ms. Urbikite and is in your meeting book for approval.
Okay. Is there discussion or a motion?
I move that we adopt the stipulated final order.
So moved by Commissioner Sosa. Roll call vote, please.
Mr. Mason?
Aye.
Mr. O'Day?
Aye.
Mr. Sosa?
Aye.
Mr. Edwards?
Aye.
Mr. Fiskum?
Aye.
Chair Burke?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Item 31, the case of Mr. Ron Palmer, Councilor, City of Gold Hill.
Chair Burke, Commissioners, Ron Palmer was a city councilor for Gold Hill when he participated in an executive session in July of 2018. On March 7th of this year, the commission considered the investigation report and found two violations of the executive session provision of Oregon Public Meetings Law. Mr. Palmer was then offered a contested case hearing and a proposed settlement offer. He wishes to settle the matter for a letter of education, which conforms to the penalty matrix. That stipulated final order is signed by Mr. Palmer and is in your meeting book for approval.
Discussion and/or motion?
Move that we adopt the stipulated final order.
Commissioner Sosa so moves. Roll call vote.
Commissioner Mason?
Aye.
Commissioner O'Day?
Aye.
Mr. Sosa?
Aye.
Mr. Edwards?
Aye.
Mr. Fiskum?
Aye.
Chair Burke?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Okay. Item number 32.
Schaefer, Commissioners. I want to take items 32 through 35 as a group. Walt Collier, Lynn Schultz, Linda Stice, and Laura Harris were directors of the board of the Adana Detroit Rural Fire Protection District, and they participated in one or both executive sessions held in August and September of 2018 to hear complaints or consider discipline of a firefighter. Although this is a permissible topic under the executive session provision, the law, the subject of the discipline was not notified of the meeting and given the opportunity to request that the matter be heard in public session. After considering the preliminary review reports in these cases, the commission voted to move the matters to investigation. But rather than complete the investigative phase, these individuals wished to settle their cases for a letter of education, which was in the range allowed under the penalty matrix. And the orders are signed by each respondent and are in your meeting book for approval.
Okay. Questions for staff? Discussion and or motion?
I move that we adopt the stipulated final order on item 32.
Okay, so moved by Commissioner Sosa. Roll call vote.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Mr. Mason?
Aye.
Mr. O'Day?
Aye.
Mr. Sosa?
Aye.
Mr. Edwards?
Aye.
Chair Burr?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Item 33.
I move that we adopt stipulated final order, item 33.
So moved. Roll call vote.
Mr. Edwards?
Aye.
Mr. Fiskum?
Aye.
Mr. Mason?
Aye.
Mr. O'Day?
Aye.
Mr. Sosa?
Aye.
Chair Burr?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Okay, next time 34, is that right? 34 around
these. Nope, 34.
34, that's right. Okay. Staff report. Yep. I guess same issue. Okay. Motion?
Move that we accept stipulated final order for item number 34.
Okay. So moved. Roll call vote.
Mr. Edwards?
Aye.
Mr. Fiskum?
Aye.
Mr. Mason?
Aye.
Mr. O'Day?
Aye.
Mr. Sosa?
Aye.
Chair Burke?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Item 35.
Move that we adopt the stipulated final order for item 35.
So moved. Roll call vote.
Mr. Edwards?
Aye.
Mr. Fiskum?
Aye.
Mr. Mason?
Aye.
Mr. O'Day?
Aye.
Mr. Sosa?
Aye.
Chair Burke?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Item 36, the case of Ms. Julie Reading. Staff report, please.
Chair Burke, Commissioners. Item 36 is a stipulated final order for a case involving Julie Reading. She is a former administrative law judge with the Employment Relations Bureau. As you may recall, Ms. Reading was presiding over an unfair labor practices complaint brought by the Crook County Firefighters Association against the fire district. After the evidentiary hearing, but before she had issued her proposed order, Ms. Reading began discussing the possibility of applying for a position with the law firm of an attorney who was representing the fire district in the case before her. She interviewed with the law firm on the same day that her proposed order was issued and accepted a position with them 2 days later. Before taking these actions, Ms. Reading did not make any written disclosure of her potential conflicts of interest to her appointing authority as required by ORS 244120. The stipulated or final order that is in your meeting book provides that Ms. Reading will pay a civil penalty of $100, which is within the range permitted under the penalty matrix. We are recommending the Commission approve this stipulated order.
Okay. Questions for staff?
Yeah, I have one. Ron, can you explain how we got to the $100 or the sort of thinking behind that?
I have to go back and look. I'm sorry, but
this was the RD. Yes.
I don't think I have the matrix in front of me, so I apologize. But normally what happens is the staff will bring me the breakdown of the matrix in there. And do you remember what this one came out?
Originally, we had investigated it as both failure to disclose the conflict of interest and a prohibited use of office. And her attorney at the time wanted an immediate stipulated order, so we had proposed, based on the preliminary review information, both, and under the penalty matrix, it came out to $200. she then decided to get rid of that attorney, and we proceeded to do the investigation. In the course of the investigation, the evidence to support a prohibited use of office, it simply just wasn't there. And so she didn't disclose the potential, so we basically have what the original recommendation was.
It was a first-time violation. I mean, so she scored very low in the matrix, and so it's usually basically 0 to 20%, and so I think we were looking at the, was it $100 is
right.
2%? Is that?
Yeah.
Am I doing that correctly in my head? So that's where we're at. So, right. But basically the investigative part, we just couldn't support that prohibited use of office. And you might remember they were...
I remember this one, and that's why I was curious as to where we wound up with that. So.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Anything else? Entertain a motion.
Move to accept staff recommendations.
So moved by Commissioner Mason. Go to roll call vote.
Mr. Sosa?
Aye.
Mr. Edwards?
Aye.
Mr. Fixum?
Aye.
Mr. Mason?
Aye.
Mr. O'Day?
Aye.
Chair Burke?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Item 37.
Mr. Burke? Chair Burke, if I can real quick.
Yes.
As a reminder, how many votes do we need to have for a motion to pass?
Five.
Okay. So you'll be able to act on these matters, assuming you have a unanimous vote. As in the past, I'm going to declare a conflict and not participate in anything related to the Hill County School District. Not only is the school district located within my jurisdiction, but also Ms. Raylinda Price is the spouse of a city councilor for the city of Dayton. Historically, I have recused myself from this case, and I will do so again today.
Okay. So noted. Thank you very much. And with that, we'll go with the staff report on item 37.
Chair Burke, Commissioners, the seven members of the governing body of the Yonge Hill School District, numbers 37 through 43, these seven directors of the board for the Dayton School District participated in executive sessions held in February of 2018 and February of 2019 when topics were discussed which were not allowed under the executive session provision. After considering the preliminary review reports in these cases, the Commission voted to move the matters to investigation. Rather than complete the investigative phase, these individuals wish to settle their cases for a letter of education, which is in the range allowed under the penalty matrix. The final orders are signed by each respondent and are in the meeting book for approval.
Okay. Is there any questions? Discussion and or motion?
Yeah, I move that we adopt the stipulated final order for item 37.
Okay. Roll call vote, please.
Mr. O'Day?
Abstain.
Mr. Sosa?
Aye.
Mr. Edwards?
Aye.
Mr. Fiskum?
Aye.
Mr. Mason?
Aye.
Chair Burke?
Aye.
Motion passes 5-0 with one extension.
Item 38, I think it's the same case, right?
Yep. I move that we adopt the stipulated final order in regard to item 38.
Okay, so moved. Roll call vote.
Mr. Mason?
Aye.
Mr. O'Day?
Abstain.
Mr. Sosa?
Aye.
Mr. Edwards?
Aye.
Mr. Fiskum?
Aye.
Chair Burke?
Aye.
Motion passes 5-0 with one abstention.
Item 39.
Move that we adopt stipulated final order in regard to item 39.
Okay. Roll call vote, please.
Mr. Mason?
Aye.
Mr. O'Day?
Abstain.
Mr. Sosa?
Aye.
Mr. Edwards?
Aye.
Mr. Fiskum?
Aye.
Chair Burke?
Aye.
Motion passes 5-0 with one abstention.
Okay, item 40.
I move that we adopt stipulated final order in regard to item number 40.
Roll call vote, please.
Mr. Fiskum?
Aye.
Mr. Mason?
Aye.
Mr. O'Day?
Abstain.
Mr. Sosa?
Aye.
Mr. Edwards?
Aye.
Chair Burke?
Aye.
Motion passes 5-0 with one abstention.
Okay, item 41.
We adopt stipulated final order in regard to item 41.
Roll call vote, please.
Mr. Edwards?
Aye.
Mr. Fiskum?
Aye.
Mr. Mason?
Aye.
Mr. O'Day?
Abstain.
Mr. Sosa?
Aye.
Chair Burke?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Item
42.
Move that we adopt stipulated final order in regard to item 42.
So move. Roll call vote, please.
Mr. Edwards?
Aye.
Mr. Fiskum?
Aye.
Mr. Mason?
Aye.
Mr. O'Day?
Abstain.
Mr. Sosa?
Aye.
Chair Burke.
Aye.
Motion passes 5-0 with one abstention.
Item 43.
I'll move that we adopt stipulated final order in regard to item 43.
Roll call vote, please.
Mr. Edwards.
Aye.
Mr. Phipson. Mr. Phipson.
Commissioner Fiskum, are you with us?
Can I need you, Commissioner Fiskum?
Mute? Is your mute button on?
Are you muted, Dave?
Hopefully his battery didn't die.
Did you get my vote? This can both die.
Oh, okay. Yes. Die. Okay, very good.
Waiting on David Bell.
Yes.
Commissioner Mason?
Aye.
Commissioner O'Day?
Abstain.
Mr. Sosa?
Aye.
Chair Burke?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Okay. Fiskum, votes aye. You got that there. Are you sure you don't want to change your vote there, Commissioner Fiskum? So,
nice.
Very good. Okay, next item, 44.
Chair Burke, Commissioners, item 44 is a stipulated final order for Roger Taylor, one of the board members of the Basin Ambulance Service District. The underlying matter was an executive session where the district was firing 3 volunteers without sufficient notice. Roger Taylor is the last of the 5 board members to have come before the commission. The commission previously approved stipulated final orders to the other 4 board members. The order in your meeting book provides for the same penalty, a letter of education. The only difference is that Mr. Taylor wanted to include an assertion about how he had been participating in that executive session as a protest against the board's actions because he voted no and they all voted yes. We recommend approval of the stipulated final order.
Okay, Roger Taylor. Every time I see the name Taylor, I think of the original Planet of the Apes movie because the astronaut's name was Taylor.
Yes.
Interesting. So is there a question for staff or a motion or discussion?
Move to accept the stipulated final order.
Okay, so moved. Roll call vote, please.
Mr. Sosa?
Aye.
Mr. Edwards?
Aye.
Mr. Fiskum?
Aye.
Mr. Mason?
Aye.
Mr. O'Day?
Aye.
Chair Burke?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Awesome movie. Okay, item 45.
Chair Burke, Commissioner, item 45 and 46 I'll summarize together because they're similar. Mr. Cannon and Mr. Tolman were both city councilors for the city of Gold Hill, which we had an earlier stipulated final order from another councilor there. They participated in executive sessions in 2018. On March 7th of this year, the commission considered the investigation reports and voted to find 2 violations of the executive session provision. Mr. Cannon and Tolman were then each offered a contested case hearing and a proposed settlement for a letter of education which conformed to the penalty matrix. Neither respondent requested a contested case hearing or responded to the settlement proposal sent first in March and then again in October. In March and again in October, the respondents were notified that lacking a response from them, the commission would proceed with a default final order in their cases. As noted in the executive director's memo regarding deviation from the penalty matrix, these proposed default final orders in the meeting book call for a $200 civil penalty due to the aggravating factors of a lack of response to the settlement proposals and the failure of the respondents to follow written advice from the city's insurer and the League of Oregon City's attorney, not to hold the executive session, which led to these violations in the first place.
Very good. Are there any questions for staff? Yes.
Mr. Burke, this is Mr. Fiskum. I've got a question for Ms. Gould. I didn't see that the contemplated default final order in these cases included a letter of education along with a fine. If I missed something, help me.
No, they don't usually, I mean, we could send them a letter of education as well. I suppose that the default final order is usually because they're non-responsive and we've offered them the opportunity to settle for a letter of education a couple of times and haven't heard from them, so this is usually what we do with default final orders. We rarely take default final orders, so it's kind of a newish area for me. So.
Thank you for that, and I appreciate the point. I'm not going to be hung up on this, but this was an example for me of a case where if a letter of education was going to be issued, and I recognize it's not, I would be inclined, in light of the failure to contact and deal with us, for there to be a letter of reprimand, which I understand our rules and or law allow us to do. If that's not indicated in the terms of a letter of any kind this time, and just a fine based on the default final order, so be it. But this conduct, to me, deserves a letter of reprimand. I'll let that stand as a commentary for the record.
I see our, David, for your benefit, I see our executive director and our legal counsel shuffling through papers to...
I know there's three of them.
Letter of reprimand is one, but in this case... there's a finding of violation.
So the sanction is the reprimand.
In lieu of, you mean the fine in lieu of the $200 civil penalty or along with the $200 civil penalty?
No. I would not propose for my part to remove any fine, either of the two fines as recommended here, though I know we're dealing with 45 now, and that's 46 technically, but... This harkens back only to one of my points, that sometimes it would seem to me, instead of issuing a letter of education, if that was indicated, a better phrase, given the particulars of a certain situation, might be letter of reprimand. If that's not appropriate this time, let's just move on and consider the default final order as staff proposed, which I will be pleased to move.
Yeah, I think the fine is itself a reprimand and a finding of violation.
Well, it is, and with those mitigating factors in our matrix, they did not go at the lowest level of any of the letters, so it's actually a step above that.
It's a financial reprimand.
Yeah.
It's a financial reprimand, yes.
So this is where the non-military affidavit came in.
Yes.
New things.
So, Commissioner Fiskum, did you want to make a motion? Wait, I'm sorry.
I'm happy to do so again. I would move the staff recommendation on item 45, the default final order involving Mr. Tom Cannon.
Okay. So, speaking to the motion, Commissioner O'Day.
Thank you, Chair Burke. Just a real quick question to the staff to clear the record on a minor issue. You mentioned they got advice from the League of Oregon Cities. I was once the general counsel of League of Oregon Cities. I don't think I was at this time.
No, okay. It was Patty Mullen.
Thank you.
You were everything. You're like the Gene Hackman of legal entities.
Yes.
He's in every movie.
I don't think I'm as good looking as Gene Hackman.
So anyhow, with the Hollywood reference, you know, I waited all year for the Planet of the Apes reference. I've all year find a way to reference that movie in an ethics commission meeting. Bailed out in the last meeting. Okay, so we have a motion. Unless it's for the discussion, we'll go to a roll call vote.
One question on that. Is it true in this case that legal counsel did advise them to do what they did?
No, not to do what they did.
To not, okay.
Thank
you for the clarification. Advice.
Okay, roll call vote, please.
Mr. Gay.
Aye.
Mr. Sosa.
Aye.
Mr. Edwards.
Aye.
Mr. Fishman.
Aye.
Mr. Mason.
Aye.
Chair Burke.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Okay, that takes us to item number 46. Staff report, please.
That's the same thing.
That's the same, yeah, that's right, City of Goldville. My mistake. So, entertain a motion.
Yeah, I move that we adopt the default final order in regard to item 46.
Commissioner Sosa so moves. Roll call vote, please.
Mr. Mason.
Aye.
Mr. O'Day.
Aye.
Mr. Sosa.
Aye.
Mr. Edwards.
Aye.
Mr. Fiskum.
Aye.
Chair Burke.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Okay, that takes us to item 47, which I think is a different issue with ports of investigations.
Chair Burke, Commissioners, this is the same city of Gold Hill, the same city council member, or a different city council member regarding the same
issue is the last two default final orders and the previous acceptance of a stipulated final order. Zachary Bell was the city councilor for the city of Gold Hill, and he participated in executive session in July of 2018. On September 21st of 2018, the commission found cause to move this case to investigation after consideration of the preliminary review report. The focus of the investigation was to determine if there was a preponderance of evidence to indicate that the city councilors discussed topics not permitted by statute and failed to meet statutory prerequisites. Mr. Dell requested that the 180-day time limit be waived during the investigation phase in order to negotiate a settlement of this matter. He then failed to respond to the proposed settlement offer for a letter of education and other attempts to reach him over the past 6 months. So then I resumed the investigation, which determined that Mr. Dell and three other city councilors participated in an executive session discussion of topics which were not authorized to be discussed, and they failed to meet the statutory prerequisites before discussing other topics, despite receiving advice to the contrary from their insurance provider and their attorney from the legal agency. There's a preponderance of evidence to indicate that Mr. Dell violated ORS 192.660 subsections 1 and 2 during the July 2018 executive session. The report's in your meeting book for the recommendation to make preliminary findings of violations.
Okay. Questions for staff? Okay. Not. Discussion motion?
I move that we adopt staff recommendations.
Commissioner Sosa casually moves. And so go to roll call vote.
Commissioner Mason?
Aye.
Commissioner O'Day?
Aye.
Commissioner Sosa?
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Commissioner Fiscom?
Aye.
Chair Burke?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Okay, so we go to 49. We have advisory opinions now?
Yes.
And so,
yes, and these are actually opinions of the commission, so they are voted upon.
Okay.
49 and 50.
Yep, is there a staff report for 49?
Okay. Yeah.
I think Carly just left. We have five.
Oh, okay.
It's state, and then Sean provided them advice. Does that matter?
Yeah, I was going to explore that issue as well. So go ahead, Susan, and we can.
Okay. Okay, Commissioner Fiscom, without you, we cannot proceed, so please stay with us.
Yes, sir, I'm not going any place.
Okay.
Item 49 is a commission advisory opinion involving, it was requested by Chris Witowski, Jeffrey Crapper, and Ann Coleman, three of the seven directors on the Dayton School District Board of Directors. In the upcoming year, the district will be negotiating and voting on new collective bargaining agreements with its two unions. Because these three directors have relatives working at the district who would be covered by those collective bargaining agreements, they have asked the commission to make a class determination for purposes of the application of the class exception in 244.020.13b. Prior to making this request, I believe they did speak with Commissioner O'Day. They also, both one of them, Director Witowski, had called us, and Director Crapper had emailed us. The opinion that is in your meeting books addresses three questions. Do the two groups of employees constitute a class? Are the directors' relatives members of the classes? And when the board negotiates and votes on the new collective bargaining agreements, will all of those relatives be affected to the same degree as other class members, such that the class exception would apply? The commission decides on a case, the opinion expresses that the commission decides on a case-by-case basis whether the number of persons in a class is sufficient. In this case, the opinion concludes there are two classes, the classified employee class and the certified employee class, and the relatives are members of these classes. The opinion that analyzes whether they would be affected to the same degree concludes that Director Coleman's daughter-in-law, who is the member of the classified employee class, would be affected to the same degree, so no conflict of interest would arise for Director Coleman. Director Witowski and Crapper both have spouses who are members of the certified class who would be affected to the same degree for no conflict of interest. However, Director Coleman's spouse, her spouse and Claude are members of the certified class, but her spouse would not be affected to the same degree because as the SFA director, he receives an additional premium pay. He is the only one who is qualified for that position. So for Director Coleman, the Clark exemption would not apply. She would have a conflict of interest with respect to the certified employee collective bargaining agreement.
Commissioner O'Day.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So as the record indicates, Mr. Witowski contacted me about this particular matter. I don't know that this is a quasi-judicial that requires ex parte contact disclosure, but you know, in the interest of full disclosure, I want to kind of note the relationships and how it is he came to contact me. So Mr. Witowski is married to the mayor of Dayton, who is one of my members and talks to me about ethics issues quite a lot as they try to make sure that they don't get into trouble. And so Mr. Witowski gave me a call saying, we're going to be voting on the budget. Beth is an employee. Do I have a conflict of interest? And without answering his question, I said that this issue's come up before the commission quite a bit. There is a class exemption process that people can go through, but that the commission is the only entity that can give that opinion, and I've recommended that he contact commission staff. And so that's how this case got started.
Okay. For the discussion, entertain a motion.
Move that we adopt the staff advisory opinion, item number 49.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Just to be very clear, it's actually a commission advisory opinion.
Right. Oh, so that we adopt the commission advisory opinion for item 49.
Sorry. Okay. Yeah, very good. So we are adopting the commissioner advisory opinion with the passage of this motion. Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Fiskum.
Aye.
Mr. Mason.
Aye.
Mr. O'Day.
Aye.
Mr. Sosa.
Aye.
Mr. Edwards.
Aye.
Chair Burke.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
So because you were forwarding him to the commission, you did not have to abstain regularly.
Right. I don't represent them, and and I don't have a pecuniary interest.
Yeah. Pecuniary. Yeah. Great word.
Just want to make sure you all knew.
Item 50.
Yep.
It's okay.
I was staring off. Chairman Burke and commissioners, again, Lisa Kristen with the Government Ethics Commission and an investigator, and I prepared the advisory opinion before you at page 255 of your meeting book. Essentially, this involves Roger Johnson, who is the fire chief for Sisters Camp Sherman Fire District. Chief Johnson contacted us and indicated that the Fire District Board of Directors of Sisters Camp Sherman Fire District would like to adopt the policy regarding work after retirement in light of the changes brought about by Senate Bill 1049, which will be implemented in January of 2020. They asked Fire Chief Johnson to provide a staff report and to draft the policy for the board to consider regarding the issue. Fire Chief Johnson will be eligible to take advantage of any work after retirement policy of Senate Bill 1049. And his question was whether or not he could engage in preparing a draft policy without being in violation of the Oregon government ethics law. We identified for him that he is, in fact, a public official. No big surprise there. Two issues arose, prohibited use of office, whether or not this would be a financial gain or avoidance of financial detriment available to him that would not otherwise be available but for him being a public official. And our position on that is indicated again in the advisory commission report, or opinion rather, that we drafted, is that his role in drafting the policy is an implementation of a new state law and does not appear to be the type of use of office that is referenced in ORS 244.040. The other issue that potentially arose from his inquiry was whether or not there was a conflict of interest. After reviewing this and discussing it, it was determined that because he would be writing the policy that would be implemented if adopted by the board after it was submitted, would potentially affect him financially because he would be eligible and did indicate to us that he is planning to take advantage of the opportunity to work after retirement if, again, the policy is adopted. Overall, we provided that opinion for him regarding the use of office, regarding conflicts of interest, and submitted it to our attorney as well as to Chairman Burke for signing. Thank you.
And I just want to be clear on advisory opinions that Amy's signature is required also.
Commission.
Yeah, commission advisory opinion. Mm-hmm.
And I had asked that this come to the commission just that this is something that's going to happen
a lot
everywhere. Mm-hmm.
We discussed it that...
Well, not everywhere. The executive branch won't be doing it.
Well, yeah, the executive branch will not be participating.
I'm sorry.
But we anticipate other inquiries.
Okay, so...
sorry, bye.
A discussion or a motion relating to the adoption of this advisory opinion.
I move that we adopt commission advisory opinion, item number 50.
Okay, Commissioner Sosa so moves. Roll call vote.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Commissioner Fitzsimmons?
Aye.
Mr. Mason?
Aye.
Mr. O'Day?
Aye.
Mr. Sosa?
Aye.
Chair Burke?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Okay, we now joyously go into the correspondence received and responses. And
these are all non-action items.
Non-action
Chair.
Items. Hence the joy.
If there's any questions people might have. Yes. But you can see, we were talking earlier about the amount of work that was asked of us in the last 6 weeks, and you can see it's a fair amount of...
And there are a lot of them.
Fair amount of work.
Lots of advice.
Can I ask a question? Is this dude just going into an election cycle, or is this, do you think that people are just more aware of ethics, you know, issues coming up, and they want more protection? They check with the Oregon Government Ethics Commission?
I think it's a little both. I think it's with the training, but I don't think it's an election cycle. I think it's more of there's some new laws that are coming out. It's like mm-hmm. the last one we just saw, where Senate Bill 1049. So, but I think there is more of an awareness out there of folks wanting to talk to us. So, or we were just lucky. I'm not sure.
And good people steering them.
But this is a good thing. I mean, this is an excellent thing. And people are asking this question before they do things. So,
okay. So, does anyone want to go through any of these particular items? I don't see any mad drive to do so. So, we'll go to the next item, other correspondence, which is none. And so now we'll go to the miscellaneous items.
Yes, so this is the last thing we need a vote on by the commission today, is this request to expand the investigation.
Chair Board of Commissioners, item 64 is a memo relating to an ongoing investigation of Frankie Dietrich, who is the fire chief and administrator of the Yahats Rural Fire Protection District. At its May meeting, the commission moved this matter to investigation to determine if Ms. Petrick had engaged in gift clause or prohibited use of office violations. During the course of that investigation, we discovered new information suggesting a new and separate violation of RORS 244025. The new matter involves the South Lincoln Ambulance Company, which is a 501c3. The ambulance company has a written agreement with the fire district. Frankie Petrick signs, she is on the board of the ambulance company, and signs the agreement as a board member of the ambulance company with the district. Each December, the ambulance company gifts cash awards to each district employee and volunteer, including to Frankie Petrick. Over the period of our jurisdiction, the ambulance company has given Ms. Petrick cash awards of at least $500 per year for a total of $1,750. Because the ambulance company has a legislative or administrative interest in Ms. Petrick's actions as the fire district administrator, she is prohibited under OC5 from accepting gifts in excess of $50 per year. We are asking the commission to expand the scope of the existing investigation to include this new matter so that rather than opening it as a separate matter. Ms. Petrick and her attorneys were informed of this they're fully aware of the request to extend the scope.
Okay, very good. Questions for the esteemed Ms. Myers? Okay, so entertain a motion to expand the investigation accordingly.
So moved.
Commissioner Salsa so moves. Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Commissioner Fiscom?
Aye.
Commissioner Mason?
Aye.
Commissioner O'Day?
Aye.
Commissioner Sosa?
Aye.
Chair Burke?
Aye.
Motion passes again.
Okay. Trainer's report. Always a pleasure.
All right. All right, Chair Burke and Commissioners, in your meeting materials, there's a listing of the training that had been completed since the last commission meeting, and also the upcoming training webinars for November and December were listed there. As always, any training is open to you. Just let Tammy or I know, and we'll make sure that you get all the details for the attendance. I want to say thank you to Commissioner Edwards for popping in at the Clean Energy Commission meeting while I was giving training up there. Thank you very much. It's always great to see you out there in the field and not just here in the conference room. Just some notes, nothing really exciting other than our training, but for the real estate agency, I had gone to them earlier this year. They've now asked us back. They have a couple new board members, and they want us to train their board members as well. Portland Metro has now an ongoing quarterly training session with them. In fact, we have 2020 already booked with them. My esteemed colleague Tammy was working with the Medford Water Commission, and they have a new human resources manager there who contacted us, and she worked with them, and they ended up hosting a double session in Southern Oregon. A lot of entities were involved, so we had the city of Central Point, we had the city of Phoenix, Ashland, of course Medford, Jackson County, in addition to the Medford Water Commission, and there was a back-to-back session, so a lot of entities, we had a good turnout there, a lot of great feedback that they thought it was very valuable information that we gave at the training. Out of that, the city of Central Point has asked us to work with them on creating a custom webinar that they can train their new employees on. And so Tammy right now is working with them to get kind of some scenarios so that we can customize it for them. So a lot of new avenues that are happening there. I am working with DAS. They have a procurement convention that's coming up in March of 2020, and I'm working with them on scenarios to kind of customize and make training more relevant to what procurement individuals may run into out in the field as far as ethics. So other than that, if there aren't any questions, that kind of concludes my report.
Okay. Any questions? I'd say I look forward to you guys being at Western Liberty Network again this year.
Okay,
and you guys were a big hit last time. I think I mentioned that when you were here before. But anyway, thank you very much for your good work. It is the heart of our mission. So.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for
that. Anybody else have any questions? Okay. That takes us to the Executive Director Report.
Okay, so I'll be short. There's the current budget, we're still finalizing the financial plan, but everything's budget. It's really early in the biennium. We have publicized our assessment plan, so everybody knows that. All the entities, what they're getting assessed, and DAS is sending out those assessment invoices as we speak. So the SEIs, we've talked about this before, that they're all filed in the current year. We'll still be bringing you some of those prior years in those folks into compliance. The audit, there's not much to report there. They actually, the last time around, said they were going to go away for a little while. They had something else they had to do, and then they were going to come back to us. But you might have saw, there was an article in the paper not too long ago about the Secretary of State and elections having some trouble doing their investigations, and the Secretary of State had come out and said, had proposed that we do those investigations. So I think at least the Secretary of State's confident in our abilities here. So I'm thinking the audit should be pretty good, since she was using us to, maybe we should do the investigation, be non-politicized that way. She didn't ask me about it, but that's okay. I did get a chance to meet her the other day, though, so that was nice. So I'm hoping good things are going to come out of this audit, but like I said, they put us on hold for just a little bit, so really nothing to report there. I talked about the lobbyists. My numbers are new now. There is, in the third quarter, there are no lobbyists, and there's no client reports due for the third quarter. So they're all filed.
You said that's the first time ever?
First time I can remember this early on that they've all been filed. I mean, we've been kind of punching at that door for a while, one or two of them being delinquent, but this time Kathy and Dave were able to get everybody in filed. And again, like I said, when we look at those reductions of penalties, some of me feels a bit like my staff is reaching out quickly to try to keep those penalties down to begin with, because without the phone calls, they might be coming in with, you know, $1,000 or $1,500, depending on when they read their email and says, oh my God, I forgot to do that. But this way, with the staff calling right away and getting them filed while they're on the phone, I think they're reducing their potential penalties as it is.
I've never asked this before, but that's got to be a little bit of a panic too for some of these guys when the Ethics Commission is calling them and saying, hey, do you guys get that? Sure.
Well, it's not as bad as like the IRS or when I work for the Department of Revenue. I know when I called there, they got a little. But anyway, I talked about Amy and I presenting at the public law conference. Like I said, it was really a really kind of a neat thing. She was like interviewing me, and then when I get the answers wrong or not get them all the way in, she'd fill in, which is great. But then the audience like started filling in, and like I said, it was there was just kind of a good buzz to it, because it, like, everybody was really participating. Most of the time you get in big crowds, you look out and, you know, people are, you know, playing with their phones and doing different things, and they were all pretty well engaged in this. I got a lot of questions afterwards out in the hall. The timing between sessions was really short, so they're actually like, get out of the room. So the people who were coming up to me in the hall, I probably didn't leave for probably another half hour or so.
When you were finished, did people take their cigarette lighters?
No fire allowed. Our lease for this building is coming up here in May. The Board of Accountancy has announced I don't know if they officially announced with tomorrow yet, they have to do it by the end of this month, that they're going to move out. So we met with DAS real estate folks, and the rest of the folks in here don't want to move. I don't want to move. It costs too much money to move. But we may be talking tomorrow about some upgrades to the place here and actually some lowering of the rent. I guess the rent here, the market's been going down just a little bit for office space. So I think some good things are going to come out of it. One of my proposals is to knock that wall out and make this conference room bigger. There's only going to be four of us in here now. There's two conference rooms downstairs. The Board of Medical Regulatory Board, they want to make another conference room / continuing education room downstairs. So anyway, the other thing that they didn't like was this place having one door. So if a bad person does come in, you are trapped a bit. You might remember, if you've been here long enough, there used to be a door going out that way, but now that's Diane's door. It still says on the back side of it, please use other door, though, but I was not on the back side of the door. Couldn't get the sticker off. But this way, it would give us more entrance and exits. You get some room. I'm talking about trying to put some type of kitchenette, because on the back side of that next conference room is actually plumbing. There's a sink and kitchen. Try to build a little bit on that back side. So
put in an arcade, maybe a hot tub.
I don't think the state's going to let us have those things. Yeah. But
a big room. You don't sound like you think that you're going to be forced to move.
So. No. I believe Mara will rent to us. The way we're located, even if everybody else moved out, I could rent just this space, because we're behind closed doors and we paid our rent on time. So it's not going to force us. According to DAS, the one thing is we pay for a common space around here, but what she is saying is that lease includes, when a county goes away, also they can't charge us for their common space, basically. So it shouldn't increase our costs any. In fact, I predict it's going to probably lower our costs just a little bit with can renegotiate this contract. It was always scheduled for May of 20 to come up. But we have a right to extend it out, and I think it goes.
What's
up
the lease term on it, or how long a lease did you guys have to do for?
We did a 5-year lease, but I think we have 3 years that we can extend it out. So he really can't get rid of us. And I don't think John really does want to get rid of us. I mean,
you're a good tenant.
He's,
you should talk him into a big green racing stripe for the building, though.
So hopefully they'll actually find...
Kicks out the Oregon Government Ethics Commission from the building.
Racing stripe added. I think the good news is we're gonna get some... I think it's going to be some upgrades around here, some help. For us, and like, say, this room, we know at times we can use a little bit of extra room. I don't have to suck it in so much to go around this end. And this, we can move this credenza out so the table go over so we're not playing with the wall as much, too. And so, anyway, we'll be working on that in the next few months.
What is the lease rate, Ron?
I don't know. I don't have it here in front of me. Do you know what, we're paying per square foot? I just don't have it in front of me. I mean, you can look on.
I'm just curious.
I can tell you what I pay per month.
Only 3 weeks between Thanksgiving and Christmas this year. Have we got their shopping done?
So we're paying $37.62 right now for the space per month. The other thing I wanted to announce is that for the first time we're going to have an intern start here on January 21st. Willamette University contacted us and asked if we'd be interested in having an intern. I had to call DAS to find out, can we have an intern? It's an unpaid position. She, of course, gets a grade out of that. Relationship, but we're really excited. It's a smart young woman that wants to come over. And what was exciting was is this person runs, what is it called, politics and ethics and something else. But anyway, the students had actually gone. It's like, what about the ethics commission? So actually, the professor had contacted us about it. So it's a great thing because I know when I went to school. Let's just say government wasn't on the top of the list, you know, and so it's exposing these people to government. So what we will be asking from you folks, though, during this is one of the things you should get out of this is the networking and the contacts with you folks as commissioners and working with you folks, and we'll be encouraging that. So that should be really one of the benefits of her, with your separate professions out there and being able to have those conversations. And you know, it's an educational purpose to educate her on not only what we do here, but what you folks do too. So just those contacts. So we'll probably have her involved in some meetings here. I know we're going to involve her in some rule changes and stuff. I mean, there's lots of little projects we're going to have her do around here. So, but she'll start up on the 21st. So it's kind of exciting. I was excited to see that the university reached out to us and asked us to participate in this. So, like I said, I've been here since 6, and we've never had one. Like I said, to call DAS to see if we can I do this? Yeah, you certainly can. So,
what kind of projects would you ever work on? I mean, since you've never had a...
Well, like I said, one of it is rules, but we were actually talking with the trainers about they want to build some presentations and things like that. Mm-hmm. You know, that like...
Like a quarterly newsletter on their website about...
Right, but you talked just a bit about a personalized, you know, webinar for different folks, but these younger people are much better at working, the inner workings of being able to create those kind of things. I think there's several things that she's going to be involved in. We talked about the public official guide, trying to work on that, getting that updated, and working with staff here, working on trainings, working with just some of the advice on how things are written, like how to write, analytical type writing skills to have them do. So they'll work with folks here. But one of the things I want to tell you folks I have told her that, you know, she will have access to the commission itself too. So you know, we'll have her sitting in the room. The other thing is we won't have a long session, so she won't be part of that, but we will be building our budgets, we'll be building our legislative concepts, things like that, and she can be part of that discussion that's out there. So you know, anyway, that's kind of the plan right now.
Okay, very good. Anything else?
That's all I had, sir.
Anything for the good of the order from the other commissioners?
Everybody have a great holidays.
Yep.
You too.
Happy Thanksgiving. Merry Christmas.
See you right after New Year's.
That's right. January 3rd.
Whatever applies. It's been great being your chair.
Right.
And good luck to you, Nathan.
Thank you.
Take care.
Thank you.
And so I declare us adjourned. Perfect.